All right, our first bit of news is out of England. A student who said Muslims should be wiped off the face of the earth is facing jail. Lewis Duxbury, a 22-year-old student, posted a video on Facebook saying that Muslims should be wiped off the face of the earth. When one of his classmates discovered this video, they reported it to the university and to the police, and he was brought up on charges of hate speech. So why this is big news right now is, one, him saying that, even though he said that he meant terrorists, he said Muslims. And this is not the first time that he's made comments like this before. Back in 2015, he also made comments that were derogatory towards Muslims as a whole. But now, the reason why this is so big is he's actually facing jail time for the video that he uploaded.
Wait, so where is this? This is the UK, right?
Yes, this is out of England.
So this he uploaded the video a while ago, but the reason why this is getting attention now is because now the sentencing just came through, right?
That's correct.
But this would never happen in the United States, right? Like, this would be a free
This
would be a free speech issue. What are your guys' thoughts about this? So first of all, our position, I mean, people that follow us know that we are 100% anti-Islam. But this kind of this is any kind of speech that is against Muslim as a whole, like generalizing all Muslims, we're against that, right? In fact, one main reason why we're against Islam is because what it does to Muslims. Like, Muslims are the main victim of Islam. Shopam, you have background noise, so mute your microphone when you're not speaking. What did he exactly say? Can you say what he said in the video without us getting demonetized? No, probably not.
No, I can't. But he did go on a 17-minute rant. Right. Okay, and there's a lot of nuance to what he said there, and I get that. But when he straight up said that Muslims should be wiped off the face of the earth, that was the point of no return. I mean, he didn't say terrorists. He said that's what he meant. Mm. Due to the other aspects of what he said in the video, 17-minute rant, you know. But this is what he said. And in my opinion, to face jail time over, you know, being a bigoted jerk, I don't think that that's appropriate. Obviously, I think that he should not be jailed for this. I think what he said was stupid. I don't agree with what he said. No. But to be punished like that.
So I think we all, the three of us, I think, agree that what he said was dumb and bigoted. But he should not receive jail time for it. And it's actually scary to me that UK, one of the two main countries that is responsible for Enlightenment values, and the main Enlightenment value being freedom of expression, is now leading as one of the countries in Europe to fight against freedom of expression, which is very scary. People in the United States should be very, very, very grateful for their constitution. Again, just because we don't think this guy should have gone to jail, that doesn't mean we agree or support what he has to say. We're very much against it, but we don't think the right way to fight against it is to limit that person's freedom of expression. Do you guys agree with all of that? Because now I have a question after that.
Yep.
Shubham, you agree?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So my question is that, do you think in the UK, if he just changed his statement in just a little bit, what he said, if he said Islam should be wiped off face of the earth, I would have completely endorsed that message. I would be like, yes, Islam should. When you say Muslims should be wiped off the face of earth, I'm like, holy no, my, like, that is kind of insane. That is scary. That is bigoted. Even if you come out and say, like, oh, I meant just a terrorist, well, you should have said that. But do you think he would have, I would agree with what he's saying if he said Islam should be wiped out of planet Earth. I actually have said that. I've been quoted of saying that. But do you think you would face jail time in the UK if he said Islam instead of Muslims?
I think that, yes, because they still consider that Islamophobia. And by definition, that is Islamophobia, even though I think the word is completely ridiculous. And as you've been saying, and Ali Rizvi and many other people, it's anti-Muslim bigotry. that people are really fighting. Islamophobia includes Islam, criticism of Islam, and that actually takes away from what Muslims face when it comes to bigotry. So I think that Islamophobia is ridiculous, but because it's Islamophobic and that is considered hate speech, I think that he might actually still be facing jail time for saying something like that. And I think that that wasn't his intention at all in this video. He definitely was talking about people, and he made that clear in his defense of saying, hey, I didn't mean all Muslims. I meant just the terrorists. Mm-hmm. So to me, this wasn't about their ideology. To me, this is still about people.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we are pretty consistent about our defense of freedom of expression. Like, for example, we would defend Muslims' freedom of expression in the UK if they say, like, hey, you know what? I think ex-Muslims or atheists should be killed, right? Like, the three of us here, right? If they think, like, we should be killed, if they just think that, if that's just their view, we don't think they should go to jail either. Even if they want us dead, and they say that they want us dead because they're not committing violence themselves. That's just their opinion. I mean, that's a very crappy opinion, right? But again, you have to be allow people to say what they believe. I honestly don't think in the UK, I think UK has gone very far, too far, but not yet far enough for them to jail him if he had said Islam. I don't think they would have jailed him if he had said Islam. I think his lawyer would have been able to make the case that this guy was just making a statement about an ideology. Even though the politicians might say, like, oh, Islamophobia, I don't think he would have gone to jail if he said Islam instead of Muslims. Maybe I'm wrong. Let us know if you think I'm wrong. Lily is saying, damn, I mean, I think the concept of the religion should be wiped off and forgotten, but not the people who believe in it. Exactly, Lily. The second top comment is from Holly. He or she is saying, thank Yahweh, we have the First Amendment in the US. I may not like what you say, but you damn sure have a right to say it without going to jail. Good. Yeah, perfect comment. The third top comment is actually very interesting. Adriana is saying, I suggest the judges to take care of the imams who say the same but refer to us. I mean, that's a huge double standard in the UK. Like, how many Muslim preachers have gone to jail in the UK for saying that, openly saying in their mosques that they think, you know, something should happen to, I'm not going to say it because YouTube is dumb and they're going to think we're saying it, but the things that have to happen to the Jews or to the ex-Muslims like myself, like, there's a huge double standard. Like, if they were being arrested just for saying these opinions, the reaction from the Muslim community would have been, like, huge. And I think the police and the government there would have been, like, is terrified about a backlash of something like that. That's why they wouldn't do anything like that. So I think there's, like, right now in the UK, there's, like, two sets of laws for different groups of people, and not only we don't have, I mean, we do have anti-Muslim bigotry in the UK, but what we do have more than anti-Muslim bigotry in the UK is Muslim privilege, right? We have Muslim privilege. We have two sets of standards applying to people, and non-Muslims are getting a harsher treatment than Muslims based on their views. The things that Muslims get to say is, and non-Muslims don't get to say in the UK. So we have anti-Muslim bigotry, but we, more than that, we have Muslim privilege in the UK. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
Okay. All right, let's go to, hold on, let's let it load before we start. Next news.
Next news is out of Pakistan and Norway. Pakistan conveys deep concern to Norway over desecration of Holy Quran. Okay, so in Norway, there was a Stop the Islamization of Norway protest that was being held by a bunch of right-wing extremists where they attempted to burn a copy of the Quran. Well, a man named Umar Ilyas was a Muslim man. He prevented them from burning the Holy Scripture. But the leader of the group threw the Quran in a waste container. Okay, so Pakistan summoned Norway's ambassador. All right, ambassador to the Foreign Office. I don't know who this ambassador was. Anyways, they expressed deep concern over this, right? Well, the ambassador actually agreed with Pakistan and what? Said that this is considered hate speech. Now they're looking into this to see if this can be considered hate speech, and trying to they're saying that this is these kind of demonstrations only promote hatred and extremism, and that all religions are and must stay respectable. That Islamophobia is a threat to global peace and harmony. But here's one of the biggest problems with all of this is they're actually saying that anything that Muslims get extra hurt when somebody criticizes their religion or Prophet Muhammad. So because they become extremely hurt, this is an attack on people. An attack on the ideology is an attack on people.
And because of their feelings?
Yeah. And so they bring this, they brought up a situation where they said, you know, I've seen a movie that is a Christian saying this, right? I've seen a movie where they attacked Jesus Christ, right? And, you know, we're able to handle that. But we need to understand that, you know, the Islamic culture doesn't handle people making fun of their prophet in their religion. So we need to be more sensitive towards them. To me, I think if we're saying that another group of people can't handle the same thing we can handle, I think that is bigoted.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
That's bigotry of lower expectations. So you're saying like, oh, us Christians, we're mature enough to accept people criticizing or making fun of Jesus, but these poor Pakistanis, they're just so sensitive. Right? So yeah. We can't hurt their feelings. Like, so you're the bigots here.
They said that it generates emotional pain among the followers. So people who do this is no longer freedom of speech. Burning the Quran is not freedom of speech because it causes pain to people.
But what? Like, so wait. So we have a new definition of freedom of speech. Freedom of speech means, to them, means speech that doesn't cause pain to people? I mean, if that was to people's feelings, if that was freedom of speech, then we wouldn't need free speech laws because everybody would be just saying things that everybody else would be like, well, I'm not hurt by that, so I don't need to shut that down. Because nobody is upset about it. The whole point of having free speech laws and freedom of expression laws, standards, is because some people want to use their hurt feelings to shut down the speech. If you only say things that other people are not hurt by, then you wouldn't even need freedom of expression laws. Like, are these people serious? I mean, imagine we use these standards on them, right? I'm an ex-Muslim, okay? I left Islam. And my feelings get hurt by the Quran. The Quran and the Hadith, Islamic scripture, constantly refers to kafirun, all three of us here, as people that deserve to be tortured for eternity. Well, that just hurts my feeling. Ban the Quran. Ban the effing Quran, okay? Because it hurts my feeling. By the way, just to be clear for the few people out there that don't get it, I'm not actually in favor of banning the Quran because I'm not a sensitive snowflake. I could take it, right? Go ahead and promote your nonsense everywhere. I'll just fight against it by talking against it. But I'm not in favor of banning your nonsensical book, right? But if we apply the same standards to you, the Quran is offensive to me. Are you going to allow me to ban that? So here's the thing. They are upset that the paper was burned, okay? You're worried about paper. I'm talking about a book that says I should be burned. I should be burned. My body needs to be burned forever, okay? So if their feelings are hurt by paper being burned, then what about my feelings, about my body and my family's body and everybody that I love being burned for eternity? So my feeling is going to matter in the equation as well? Are we going to ban the Quran? And another double standard, like imagine this guy saying, this ambassador from Norway, saying what? Saying, I think the burning the Quran just encourages extremism. You know what actually encourages extremism? The Quran, right? So imagine if Norway called out the Pakistani ambassador and they said, so right now the headlines say Pakistan conveys deep concerns to Norway over the secretion of Holy Quran. Imagine if the title was Norway concerns deep concerns to Pakistan over extremism due to the influence of Quran. Imagine the uproar. Imagine the reaction the entire Muslim community would have to that. Imagine how many people would have been calling Norway's government bigoted and all of that, which actually that would be a more accurate statement. You know what the reaction to this should be? The problem with this is that only alt-right people are, you know, I burned the Quran, I have it on YouTube, but we can't let the alt-right people be the champions of freedom of expression. Because I could tell you, if the alt-right was in power, right, if alt-right had more influence than these far leftists, they would have been suppressing free speech as well, right? So the alt-right just pretends to be the champion of free speech, but we know historically, always, when they're in power, everything becomes like, the left calls it problematic, the far right calls it, what do they call it? What is their version of haram? I forgot the word that they use, but they are also the champions. They're not the champions of freedom of speech. They will restrict freedom of speech as well. The far right is only in favor of free speech because right now they're not in power and they want to be able to say what they want to be able to say, and other people are trying to shut them down. But for this, we need to steal the platform away from far right when it comes to promoting freedom of speech and take it to people that are actually defenders of enlightenment values. We need to steal it from both the far right and the far left pretends to be for enlightenment values. The far right, by taking the freedom of expression mantle and pretending they fight that, even though they're not technically for it, they will betray it. And the far left, by using LGBT and fighting racism and all that stuff, which is not really their agenda. Their agenda is something else, but they use all that enlightenment values, which is treating all people equally, equal opportunity, not equal outcome, equal opportunity. They use that enlightenment value as a tool for their real agenda, right? So both the far right and far left use some of the enlightenment values to try to gain power and become more relevant. And we, the actual defenders of enlightenment values, need to take these away from them, not by force, but by actually doing it ourselves. And how do we do that? By burning the Quran. And if you're in Norway, you have to respond to this. You have to go out and burn a Quran. Burn the Quran. Don't let the alt-right people be the only people that are burning the Quran. This needs to backfire. If anybody is suggesting that your freedom of expression needs to be limited in any form of any way, even the suggestion of that needs to backfire. And a lot of people need to go out and be like, oh, is this what you don't want us to do? Well, now we're going to do it a lot more. Anyway, sorry, I went for too long. Let me see what the top comment is. Top comment is saying, Anna is saying, respecting a book, but not woman, funny that also hailing a person who physically attacks someone as a hero is wrong on so many levels. Yeah, actually, this guy that was burning the Quran, the alt-right guy, is he an alt-right guy or is that just something they're saying? Because a lot of times they're saying that he probably, I don't know, is he?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, just remember that we don't know if this guy was actually alt-right because I've been called alt-right many times. So Anna is very right, because it was when the guy was burning a Quran, this Muslim guy just comes out and punches him in the face, doesn't he? Or attacks him.
He attacks him. Something that I didn't really get into a lot of detail about, but the Muslim man who was offended by this protest and stopped him from burning the Quran, he full on attacked the protester.
And he's been seen as a hero. So see the double standard. One man is attacking an object, and he's the hateful person. Another man responds by physically attacking a person, and he's seen as a hero. Right? In this scenario, I'm on the side of the person that's being attacked. Again, I don't care who you are. You could be ISIS. You could be a Nazi. You could be you could be KKK. You could be a far right Christian extremist. If you're just saying words and somebody physically attacks you, whatever your views are, I'm on your side. Even if your views are that I, as an ex-Muslim, need to die and be tortured to death, if all you're doing is talking and somebody wants to physically attack you, I'm against that person and I'm on your side. Well, not on your view side, but you know what I mean. Craig is saying, a friend of mine left Pakistan in fear of her life and that of her family because she's Christian, but burning a book is enough to force a sit-down with a foreign ambassador. Makes sense. Wow. Yeah, see, like, if these people actually cared about extremism, it's so amazing. Pakistan is talking about, oh, this causes extremism. Look at your country, Pakistan. Look at the amount of extremism that you have encouraged in your country. You're worried about burning a book. Like, okay. Fevzi is saying, whatever nonsense a religious book may contain, there is no need to go to such extent such as burning it. Nonsense. If people are saying you can't burn a book, then you have to burn a book. That's not an extreme position. It's just a book. It's just paper and ink. The only time that burning a book was a problem was during during Nazi time, where they were taking other people's property. You know what? If you were burning a Quran, just make sure it's your own Quran. Don't go take other people's books and burn it, right? You know, and don't do it as a form of censorship. You can't do it as a form of censorship anymore because the Quran is available to. There's so many free apps of Quran, and there's online. It's everywhere. It's not censorship. If you buy a Quran and burn it yourself, you haven't destroyed anyone else's property. You paid for it. You own that property. You're like, oh, this is what the Nazis used to burn books. Well, yeah, it wasn't their books. That was a form of censorship when they did it, because they were taking when they were doing it, they were trying to stop the flow of information. Okay, when you burn a book, Quran today, you actually might be increasing the flow of information because more people might want to read what's in it, so that it's deserving of burning. Okay, if you're burning a Quran, just make sure you're doing it in a very, very safe way. Right, be very careful. But it's not an extreme position. You know, the only thing valuable about a book is the content within it. The ink and the paper, there's nothing sacred about the ink, okay? Fevzi continues, that draws more hatred. The religious verses should be questioned, made fun of, but not burnt. They will decay eventually. No, that's nonsense. Because when you the reason why we're burning the Quran is not because that's our form of fighting against what is, responding to his claims. Because guess what? We do that as well. We take the verses of the Quran and we analyze it and we tell you why they're all nonsense. We do that. When we burn the Quran, that has a different purpose. When we burn the Quran, that's a response to people trying to make the Quran sacred in a way and telling us that we shouldn't be burning the Quran. That's more of a free speech position rather than responding to the verses of the Quran position. Yeah, of course, if you want to respond to why the verses in the Quran are nonsense, burning it is not going to achieve much, okay? But guess what? That's not why we're burning the Quran. We burn the Quran because people tell us we shouldn't, we can't, it's illegal, or all that nonsense. That's a more of a free speech position, and it's not an extreme position. When I burn the Quran and people say, well, that's hateful, I burn a copy of my own book. My book is Why There Is No God. I burn a copy of my own book right next to it. Because like, oh, look, if this was hateful towards any group of people, that means that I'm hateful towards myself. It's nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense. There's nothing sacred about a book. Anything useful about a book is the content within it, and that content is still there, and everyone has access to it. I have 3 copies of the Quran. I burned only one of them because the 2 other ones are, I want to keep, because I want to keep reading the Quran and analyze it. And I like to do that with my, anyways, so I'm not getting into too much, but top 3 comments, 2 of them were good. 1 of them I completely disagree with. Do you guys want to add anything?
No.
I feel like this kind of stuff is the reason why many people are changing their votes from the left to the alt-right.
Yeah, so we need to make sure that people understand that, again, we have to make sure, first of all, that the far left doesn't represent the left, and also the alternative to the far left is not the far right. There are actual real champions of Enlightenment values, and we need to be louder, and we need to make a home for these people, because we shouldn't make the reason why far right grew for a bit, and I think the growth is going to stop at some point, but because a lot of people saw that as the only alternative. That's why we need to be there. That's why other people need to burn the Quran. Other people that are not part of the alt-right need to burn the Quran as a huge signal to people for a home, that are actually the people that are actually standing for freedom of expression, and they will always fight for freedom of expression, not only when it's inconvenient, right? The alt-right right now is standing for freedom of expression because it's in their interest. We fight for freedom of expression for everybody, including our enemies. Let's go. Hold on, this is not loading. Okay, next news.
Next news is out of Birmingham, England. Protests against LGBT plus lessons permanently banned from outside of Birmingham Primary School. This is news that we have reported before in the past. There is a primary school in England here that was simply trying to teach children that people of different relationships exist, right? Like, so you at home might have a mom and dad, but maybe Joey over here has a mom and a mom, and that's fine, right? Let's accept Joey. Let's move on. Let's have class. So that was basically all they really wanted to teach children in this class. Well, there was a huge protest outside of the school, and it's been going on for months. We reported about this months ago. The protests are still continuing. Finally, a court has put an end to it, saying that, nope, You LGBT protesters, you can no longer protest outside of the school. You are upsetting the children. You are upsetting the teachers. 21 of their teachers had to go into counseling because they were so stressed, or get help for their stress due to the protests that were just constantly outside of the school. And so upon hearing the news that they couldn't protest out there anymore, the leader of the protests said that this was because they weren't white. The majority of the protesters standing outside of the school were Muslims who were upset at their children being taught tolerance. So they started making up things that the school was actually teaching them, saying that they had a pedophile agenda, saying that they were trying to teach children how to masturbate. And all of the things that they were saying outside of the school for their protest just simply weren't true. This is nothing that the school was trying to do to begin with. So now he's saying, because the courts have said they can't stand out there and protest anymore, that the courts are doing this because they sided with white people. And since they are diverse, the courts were against them.
Oh, come on. Are you serious? Like, in a country like UK, you think they're against Muslims? If anything, everything is going in their favor. They have Muslim privilege in the UK. People are scared about saying anything against Muslims in the UK because of how the justice system might come down on them. So this is nonsense that it's because they're not white or because they're Muslim, which is, to them, it seems like it's the same thing. But what do you guys think of this? Is this a violation of their freedom of expression to be able to protest? Because we want to be consistent when we're defending freedom of expression. That includes Muslims' right to protest, right?
Right, so, and they absolutely still have the right to protest. They still can protest. They just can't protest at the spot where they were protesting, which was right at the gate of the primary school. Hmm. And the reason why this is a problem is their protests were actually distracting students. It was causing issues inside of the school because of the proximity of the protesters, the huge, huge crowd of protesters. The teachers trying to get into the school were being harassed and bullied. So they can stand across the street and continue their protest. No one's telling them they can't continue to protest. They just can't do it at the gate.
Yeah, a lot of people misunderstand the freedom of expression with the right to be able to with the right to a platform, right? If the conditions of your freedom of your expression is that, you know, you could do it over here, but not over here. If you still are able to say what you want to say, that's not a violation of your free speech. The only issue is that the area that they're doing it is that's public space, right? So how does that work? Like, is that like mostly a disturbance of peace kind of thing? I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, they could do it technically anywhere else, but if they're constantly doing that in front of the school and it's disturbing the children and it's, if they're harassing the teachers, then that's not a free speech issue, right? That's mostly a, limiting, you know, a peace issue, isn't it? Like, I think even in the United States, where the standards of free expression is much, much better than the UK, I think if you're protesting a store, right? If you're in front of a store and, you know, but you're not like, you're not letting the customer, you're limiting the flow of customers coming in and out, right? And you're hurting the business, then those people could sue you, right? Like, they're like, you can still protest against what the store is doing or what this business is doing, but you can't do it in a way that hurts them, it disturbs the peace or anything like that, right? Like, I think even the United States, you go on.
And even how it works in the United States, you have to go out and get a permit, right? In order to protest somewhere. And what you're doing is you're agreeing to a peaceful protest, right? Mm-hmm. Which means that the location you chose, you've gotten permission, right? Because you got your request fulfilled. But if you go there and you disturb the peace,
right,
then you're breaking a law, right? And you're no longer allowed to hold that protest. It's all of a sudden null and void. A police officer at any time can come up to you and tell you, ask you to move, if you are disturbing the peace. Okay, so that's exactly what's going on here. Is these people right at the gate of the school? They could have been right, you know, outside on government property, not on the school's property. But it was still disturbing the peace. It was still disturbing the children in their school. It was still disturbing the teachers trying to get into the school. And that was the main problem here.
Right.
So I also just want to point out that I think it's outrageously hilarious that they're trying to use the fact that they're diverse as a defense, right? Mm-hmm. Saying that, you know, we only lost because we're diverse and we're not white. When diversity is exactly what the school is trying to teach acceptance of.
You're right. Like, you guys are not diverse. You guys are like, you guys against LGBT people. That's like, no, you. Do you agree that the protest should have been able to continue even in front of the school if these people were, like, just, like, standing, had their signs there, and if they weren't, like, disturbing, if they weren't disturbing the teachers or the flow of kids getting in and out, if they just were standing there and maybe, like, giving out pamphlets, maybe if they had, like, cookies and it was fun protests and they had, like, music when it wasn't class time, but they turned it off when it was class time. I think if they had, like, that kind of attitude or that kind of behavior, I think then they should have been able to continue the protest even in front of the school, right?
Exactly. And if they weren't lying about what the school was doing, right? Hmm. That was another problem. Is these protesters on the outside, while the school just wanted to say, hey, let's leave little Joey and his two moms, you know, let's leave them be. Hmm. Let's accept them. Joey's pretty cool, right? We all like Joey.
Yeah.
That's the lessons they were trying to teach. The protesters outside are like, hey, everybody. Hey, all you passerbys. They're teaching our children how to masturbate in there.
No, yeah, I mean, even I went to the UK and I've talked to a lot of people that were concerned. This is an interesting thing because a lot of, like, alt-right people are agreeing with the Muslims right now in this situation, and they're now actually they're grouping up. Imagine that, they're supporting they're supporting each other. But I've talked to a lot of people, they're both Muslims and, you know, a little bit more alt-right people, and they make it sound like they're showing kids gay porn in the classroom, right? And then you actually go and look at the books, And like, well, what is this scary thing that they're teaching to kids? Like, oh my God, they're bringing sex into school. Like, that's horrible. But then all they're showing is like, hey, like, this is boys and girls could be together, but sometimes boys and boys could be together. Like, the level of sexuality that is actually being allowed in their teachings is the same level of sexuality that the kids already have when Snow White is like in love with the prince or something, or like Sleeping Beauty falls in love with the prince. Like, if is that too sexual for you? Because that there's a lot of boy-girl relationship in a lot of kid stories, right? So that's the same. Now they're just replacing with like, oh, this princess might have fallen in love with a prince. Now the princess might fall in love with another princess. I don't know, or something else. Or prince with another prince. So why, if that's like, oh, we're not anti-LGBT, we just think that this is too sexual related stuff, kids shouldn't be exposed to it. Well, why wasn't it not your concern when the princess fell in love with another prince, right? So why was that never the consensus? You know, your bigotry is showing, and it's pretty obvious. Let me see what the top comment is. Crispin is saying, instead of protesting, remove your children from such schools, teach them moral values at home. If all the protesting parents refuse to send your children where satanic laws are taught, all such schools will be closed. Wait, so this Crispin guy is, I think it's weird, he's agreeing with the protesters' position, but he thinks that they should just take them home. But the reason why this is the top comment is not because our community is agreeing with him, it's because a lot of their reactions to it is like laughing reaction, so that's why it ended up being the top comment. This is the one interesting thing before we go to Lexus, is that you know, the far left was, you know, getting closer and closer to Muslims in a lot of Western countries, until, you know, they realized like these people will always be anti-LGBT, and that's never going to change, and that's the red line of both the Muslim community and the far left. So now they're like, they're going through a divorce in some period, in some areas, and I hope this divorce keeps growing and becoming a bigger deal. And also the alt-right, which is usually against Muslims, are now finding a little bit of an admiration, and like they're kind of like having a love-hate relationship with Muslim community, because they're like, oh my God, these people are anti-LGBT against us. They have family values like us. They understand the importance of community and women staying at home and being taken, you know, and listening to their, you know, husbands. And oh my God, these people are just like us. They just have the wrong but they're like, they used to have like a secret admiration for the Muslim community, but now more and more they're having like an openly transparent admiration. Like, if you listen to their content, they're like, they're admitting it. Like, you know what? The Muslim community is winning because they have all the right values. We need to be like them. So they're actually admitting that. But that's interesting. Chopin, did you have anything to say before?
Yeah, I wanted to say that even if they were peacefully protesting, like with all the cookies and stuff, I don't think they should be doing this in front of a school. And my reasons are like, so they'll be standing with cookies and they'll be like, hey, Mike, by the way, your parents are gay, right? By the way, they are an abomination according to a religion and are going to hell. Mm. And, well, you probably will go to hell too. Here's a cookie. And I don't think that's something you should say to children.
Right. Yeah, actually.
Do this kind of protest in front of adults. I don't mind, but no, not in front of children.
Yeah, actually, if we were being consistent of what should be allowed in school or not, Islam shouldn't be allowed in schools. I mean, talk about real double standard here. Like, imagine what these Muslims would have said if we were protesting Islamic schools and saying that, you know what, eternal torture and hateful towards gay people and non-Muslims, and, you know, these are Islamic values and they're in the Quran and the Hadith. And you cannot say this is our kids. It doesn't matter. They're kids. And you have no right to teach them those things. These are actually illegal, hateful content to tell kids. It's not, you know, so it goes way beyond what the your concerns over LGBT stuff in schools, that would be an actual legitimate protest. That's something that it should go beyond just protesting. That should be banned legally. But imagine these people are hypocrites, and if you do the same thing to them and what they're teaching to their kids, they would have, this would be, the all hell will break loose, and they would be calling out bigotry and Islamophobia. It's just, they're such hypocrites. If you do this to this, and here's the thing, they're like, oh, this is bigotry. They say that this is like, oh, because we're not white. Really? Like, imagine if your own court system in the UK, they would not allow us ban your Islamic nonsense being taught to schools. So the there is a bias, and it's on your side, it's in your favor, and you're still complaining about bigotry. Unbelievable. Anyways, should we go to, let me close this. Okay, next news.
Next news is out of Arizona, USA. Christian hate preacher says activist Greta Thunberg is a sniveling Swedish brat. So Stephen Anderson, Pastor Stephen Anderson, is obsessed with gays, like obsessed with gays. And he's one of the preachers that belong to a very fundamental Baptist group. He preaches at the Faithful Word Baptist Church. And this time his rant is actually not about gays, surprisingly, but about the environment. And he says that God created the earth for us to inhabit. And so, therefore, climate change can't even be a thing because God made it for us and he knew how we were going to turn out, right? So, we know how the world's going to end. We know the world's going to end in judgment. God's going to come down, the angels, blah, blah, blah. So, we don't even need to be worrying about climate change or the environment at all. He says that Al Gore was trying to protect people who did not need protecting, who are the Christians, and that Greta is a sniveling brat.
Yeah, I mean, when you start talking like this about a child, you know, then you know that you've got... I don't know, I mean, I'm not going to talk about Greta and stuff. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I agree with the stuff that Greta stands for, but I don't think, I don't know if the reports of people using her is accurate or not, so I'm not going to comment on that. But it doesn't really matter whether you agree with her or not. She's, how old is she?
16.
Do you think it's fair, you know, fair for people to attack a child like that? I don't know. 16 is pretty much an adult almost. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, this guy is an idiot, and I don't think that it's fair for us to put this on Christianity. There's nothing in Christianity. I mean, we're against Christianity, but technically there is nothing in Christianity that is anti-protecting the planet, right? So this is like a lot of Christians, because they're conservatives, and some, again, hashtag not all conservative, but one of one conservative position is to be against any measures to protect the planet, which is a weird thing to be standing for. But because a lot of Christians are on that side, they're trying to find verses in the Bible or teachings in the Bible that promotes their position, but it's usually a huge stretch. So we want to be fair. Like, when people use teachings in the Bible to try to say, oh, look, the Bible is great and this is promoting good things, often it's a huge stretch and it actually doesn't promote that. But when they try to do the same thing to promote something that is wrong, right, like for example being a climate change denier or something like that, if that's also a huge stretch, I want to be consistent, and I want to say, like, I don't want to, just because I'm anti-Christianity, don't want to be like, yeah, see, this is another reason why Christianity is bad. I'm actually, like, looking at it, and I'm like, I'm not seeing anything in your Bible that actually supports this position. What do you think, Ellie? You're an ex-Christian, so.
Well, in the Bible, in Genesis, it does say God does want us to, he put us in charge of the animals and the earth, right? And because he put us in charge of it, that means we're supposed to care for the animals in the earth that God created for us. So right. I think that that in and of itself is an argument for, you know, climate change. You know, we need to be concerned about our environment. We need to be concerned about the earth that God made for us. People should be jumping all over that. Not, you know, hey, let's run this bitch into the ground because God's going to come for us anyway. Right. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, you're right. Technically, it would be an easier, using the Bible, it would be easier to make the, take the position that, you know what, we need to take over a planet, right? That would be an easier conclusion to make of the Bible. Again, I'm not defending the Bible because you could get anything you want out of that book, but I'm just trying fair. Just trying to be, you know, fair and not be like, you know. Let me see what the top comment is. Shripam, do you have anything before I look at the...
I was saying, like, if you see it legally, Greta Thunberg is still a minor because 18 is considered the legal age in most countries.
Yeah.
So, legally, I don't think he can say that, like, to a child.
You can. I think you can. Legally, I don't think this is legally an issue. I just was thinking morally if it's an issue. I mean, you can criticize
right. And I think you need to make that very clear is that no one here is even trying to say anything about legal. This is about, you know, ethics. Like, should we really be attacking people's children? Should we really be attacking children? And from the position I've always taken is all the children are our children, right? Every child out here, we should all be treating as our own. From my standpoint, I think it's absolutely disgusting to start bashing a child. If you disagree with a child, challenge them, nurture them, you know, help them see things the way you think are right. If you think that you know, they're so wrong, but to attack a child, to call them a brat because you disagree with them, you know, from a moral or ethics standpoint, I think that's just ridiculous.
I mean, it's ridiculous if you use that against anyone's position instead of actually, you know, I mean, if you even disagree with him, I don't know, actually, I don't know what the full context was, so I'm not going to comment on that. But let me see what Paul is saying. I'm going to get a hat full of hate and insulted for this. I think this is not right English, but let's continue. It's right for her and everyone to look after the planet we live on. I'm all for that. But going on about how adults of the world have ruined her childhood, in quotations, she's after the one that took a carbon fiber yacht that cost $15 million, which has, I don't know what the, I think this is very bad English, but it is the top comment. Let me just read. So since she's after the one that took a carbon fiber yacht that cost $15 million, which has a huge backup diesel engine on and process of manufacturing carbon fiber is devastating. I don't know what the point is. So she's saying it's not, she's a hypocrite because she's using stuff that actually creates a lot of carbon emissions.
Okay.
And also,
so ignorant. And I'm sorry that those kind of arguments really, really annoy me. It's like when people don't like vegans and they're like, oh, what, do you walk? Have you ever stepped on a bug? Oh, you stepped on a bug. You're a hypocrite. You've hurt an animal. Her point is to do less harm, least amount of harm that you can do. I'm sure that Greta has eaten something that came out of a plastic package. I'm sure she's done stuff like that. That's not the point here. She's not saying she's perfect. She's asking everyone as a collective to start being better.
I mean, it tells you a lot. I mean, the whole issue of this whole global warming and climate change, you know, when things become political, it's, you know, you have to, if you can see that people are taking positions, whether scientific facts are real or not, based on whether they're left-leaning or right-leaning, that's, you know, when neither side is actually looking at the science. They're like, oh, what camp do I belong to? Oh, what does my camp believe in? Okay, I'm going to hold that position. And they're like, don't you want to actually figure out what's real. Like, nope, this is my tribe. My tribe believes this, so I'm going to hold this position. Even if you end up having the right position, like if you're a left-leaning position and all of a sudden you're like, oh, we need to save the climate and this is global warming is a huge issue, you're right. But chances are you're only right because you picked the position of your tribe, not because I have that position, but a lot of people on the left, they have that position not because they actually done the research. They just took the position that the tribe holds. So you were right in this scenario, but accidentally you're just following the crowd. Do you guys agree with that? Like, I think like a lot of the position that even people on the right and left hold, even the ones that are correct, it's because they're just following their tribe, not because they actually.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the next news.
All right. Next news out of the USA. Jim Baker says a couple years ago, it was illegal to say Merry Christmas. Jim Baker is my favorite ex-con TV televangelist, Christian televangelist. He was thrown in jail for being a con man, and he now is back on TV selling buckets for the apocalypse. If you buy his buckets of food, you might get to survive a few extra days after Jesus comes and takes you. I don't understand. But anyways, so Jim, good old Jim over here, is saying that Merry Christmas was illegal to say a couple years ago in the United States. This, of course, has never been true, but he brings up this cute little anecdote about how a woman who was working in a grocery store told him that it was outlawed, that she was never allowed to say Merry Christmas. And now that Donald Trump is our president and he is saying Merry Christmas, she's allowed to say Merry Christmas again. And Jim thinks that we should all be thanking Trump for being our president and allowing us to say Merry Christmas and having it not be illegal anymore.
You know what I think? I think Christians in the United States, they're just like, they're secretly like begging for their government to somehow prosecute them in any way. Like, they want to be victims so bad.
So bad.
Why can't they do something? Like, they just dream these things up. Oh, like, saying Merry Christmas is illegal. Like, they're so very, like, they have it so good, and they are so very little, you know, when their victimization is so non-existent that they have to come up with these things, right? But they're like, they're just waiting, like, can somebody please do something to us, please? Like, we need to be the victims here. How is this, why is nobody mistreating us? But it really shows how much things are in their favor, that this is their thing. That, oh, saying Merry Christmas. Like, how is their follower, are their followers, like, none of them, how many of them are like, wait, I don't remember this actually being illegal. Like, do they just like imagine that, or do they just be like, how do they not know this? Like,
I think they get really excited. I think just like you were saying, it's this victim complex and the war on Christmas and all these things that we create, especially here in America, that we create saying like, wow, look how persecuted you are. Look how amazing you are for being a Christian. And they hear this stuff from Jim and they're like, oh, really? It was illegal, and now like they feel special, you know, and they just roll with it.
I mean, if you believe in God without evidence, you might as well believe in other nonsense without evidence.
Why not?
But yeah, I mean, so, but you know what? I think one thing that might have happened is that maybe the store that she was working in, this lady was working in, I'm just guessing, doesn't allow saying Merry Christmas, which every private business should be able to make that decision for their employees if they don't want to. Like, and if you don't like it, you could just go get another job, right? It's their private business. Like, maybe a store could say, like, you know what? During the holidays, we say Happy Holidays. We don't say Merry Christmas. We want to just make sure that everybody feels welcome in our store, right? That a store can do that. And that's not against your free speech, because guess what? If you don't like it, you could just go get another job. That is not against your free speech, freedom of expression, right? And but they say like, oh, it's illegal, it's been made banned. Like, no, that was just a store policy, right? Guess what? Like, if you go and say, swear at your customers, if you're working at the store, you could get fired of that. You could be like, you can't be like, hey, that's my freedom of speech to swear at people. Like, no, that's against store policies, and they get to tell you the way the things that you are meant to say and not to say to your customers, right? For example, if you have an Islam bookstore, right? Again, we are anti-Islam, and we are for freedom of expression. But if you own an Islamic bookstore, and you hire somebody, and you say like, you know what, in this store, you have to greet every customer with "Assalamu alaikum." That's how you have to greet every customer. And you're like, no, I don't want to say that. And you're like, well, okay, you don't get to work here then. I would say like, yeah, that store has every right to say that if you're an employee of this company, that's how you greet your customers. And if you don't like it, you don't work there. Again, I'm against Islam. I hate Islam. And I'm for freedom of expression. I don't think governments should be able to tell what people get to say or not say. But if a private store tells an employee, this is what you say and this is what you can say, it's their business, and that does not violate your freedom of speech or your freedom to religion. What do you guys think? Anything you want to add to that?
I mean, doesn't every majority religion in most countries try to be the victims?
Yeah.
Like, they're always like, oh, we are okay, maybe in the past we used to do this, but nowadays we are the victims, we are being discriminated against. I mean, but they really want victimhood.
The sad thing is that Christians are actually real victims, but not in United States. In Egypt, in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, if these Christians were like, I would have supported the Christians in the United States. I support the Christians in the United States when they actually go and try to defend Christians that are actually being victimized. You know, when they, if they want to raise money and support the Christians that are being attacked in Islamic countries, which they are being attacked, I would have like, yes, this is a cause that I could get behind, because those Christians are actually under attack and they need to be supported. But these Christians, they're so troubled, they're like, well, we're not those Christians. We're talking about United States Christians. Because your tribalism is not enough if it's only focused on Christians. It has to be like, no, Christians in only my geographic area, which is, you know, anyways. Let me see that what Steve is saying. But again, hashtag not all Christians. There are some Christians that actually are trying to save Christians in other countries. I hope these Christians are not only focusing on Christians. Like, we as atheists, for example, we have been defending not just atheists when they're being attacked, but we also defend Muslims and Christians when their human rights are being violated as well. Steve is saying, yeah, I served 10 years for that one. So the top comment is making fun of the Merry Christmas being illegal. Steve is like, yeah, I served 10 years for that one. Hard time. Had to polish the reindeer every day. Had to bow down to Mr. Claus. It was the hardest time I ever served, except the last 3 years when Don the Con is president. Oh, so this guy was in jail for saying Merry Christmas, but Don the Con is president now, so he doesn't have to. For the past 3 years, he's been free. Thank you to God Emperor Trump, I guess. Art is saying, couple years ago you were in prison and I wish you a Merry Christmas. Oh, he's saying that to Jim Baker. Anyways, let me close this one. Let's wait for the next news to load. Okay, next news.
Next news out of Australia. Negative attitudes about Muslims in Australia remain high, survey finds. So yeah, okay, there was a survey that was done. They surveyed about 3,500 people. all over Australia, half of which were from written surveys. The other half are from over the phone surveys. They found that over 90% of the respondents said that they felt a sense of belonging to Australia. 85% of the respondents said that they support multiculturalism in Australia. These are high numbers. This is really good. Well, there's a minority, they call it significant minority, but a minority that says that they feel they have negative views about Muslims and rate themselves. So the over the phone, they said about 21% said that they, 21 to 25%, I'm sorry, of those interviewed over the phone said they held negative views about Muslims. But in the written survey, it almost doubled at 40%. So while Australians are for and absolutely want multiculturalism in Australia, they have negative feelings towards Muslims. The only problem that I think everyone needs to keep in mind with any sort of survey, written or over the phone, is how this question was posed.
Okay. How was it posed? Okay, go on. How was it posed?
I don't know.
Oh.
And that's why we need to be careful about these kind of surveys that aren't upfront. I've been trying to find this survey, trying to find links. If somebody does find it, please post it in the comments after the show. That'd be really, really, really helpful so we can see the whole survey and actually see which questions were asked. But as any, like we say about any of the statistics we report on this news, I always want people to be mindful about the source and about why, you know, these numbers could be this way.
Yeah, I don't know if they're actually against Muslims or against Islam. Is there right. concern Muslim or Islam? And I can't judge unless I see how the question, what was the question and how was it asked. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of problem, right? Because to a lot of people answering the question, sometimes they can't see the difference between being anti-Islam or anti-Muslim. But also sometimes even the people that are doing the poll seem to confuse the two. And, you know, try to suggest an anti-Islam position actually means an anti-Muslim position. But to me, we did another story a while back ago about Australia and it's another survey, which seemed to suggest that, you know, Australians were mostly concerned about Islam, but they're not anti-people, you know, anti-foreigners or anti-immigrants. To me, that might suggest that their concern is not the Muslims themselves, but the ideas that they're bringing. You know what I mean? So to me, it seems like the concern is the idea, and I hope that is true. I don't know if that's true because I don't know how the question was posed, and I don't think anybody that hasn't seen the way the question was posed should be able to make that judgment. So I think the easiest position and the most logical position to have is that we don't know what this really means, right?
Right.
Right. Shubham, do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, a lot of people are like, well, how could you be against Islam but not against Muslims? Muslims are the people that are believing in Islam, and they spread Islam, and they're bringing that disease with them. I mean, the answer is easy. The same way we're against cancer but not against the cancer patient, right? We keep saying that. And again, there is no way for you to fight against an idea if you want to fight against the, you know, directly against the people, because usually, as we see, when you attack the people, that doesn't hurt the idea, that actually helps the spread of the idea, right? Religions feed on victimization. And actually, if you even stop the movement or rights of, you know, people, or if you want to be aggressive against them, you know, that doesn't stop the spread of ideas. Ideas doesn't need bodies. People move to, you know, people don't physically have to move around for ideas to spread, right? So ideas could spread very easily without even the people carrying them. In fact, we have shown time and time and again, based on the strategies that we use and what has worked best for us, is that the more friendly and accepting you are of the people, the easier it is for you to fight the toxic ideas that they hold. So that's why we're saying, you know, is, you know, even if, you know, from a moral perspective, it's obvious that you should be not against Muslims, but you should be against Islam. But even if that's not your concern, even if you don't care much about morality and you just want to destroy Islam, strategically it makes also more sense to be friendly towards Muslims and accept them and befriend them and try to get involve them in your community strategically, that is also the best way to fight Islam. So even if you want to, even like, yeah, that's idealistic. No, practically, if you want to end Islam, you can't be like pro-Muslim. No, it's not idealistic. Actually, practically, that also works. That's the best thing to do. Cody is saying, if people still believe religion is the path to peace, we're so screwed. Michael is saying, good, a negative attitude towards all religions is a healthy thing to have. Well, Michael, you didn't read the title because it says Muslims. Yeah, I agree. A healthy attitude, a negative attitude towards religions, all religions, not against religious people. This is the people confusing the, you know, the disease with the patient. That's it's so something so simple and something that we need to keep talking about. I know we're tired of talking about it because it's been saying it forever, but given it seems like we need to keep doing it because so many people still don't get it. All right, should we go to the, anything else you guys want to add?
No.
Okay, let's go to, hold on, wait for it. Wait for it. Next news.
Next news out of England, UK. Church of England report says Christian anti-Semitism is to blame for the Holocaust. For the first time, the Church of England has actually made an authoritative statement on the subject of anti-Semitism. And they're saying that what enabled the Holocaust is the centuries of anti-Semitism by Christians. And they've been urging Christians to repent for their past sins while urging them to play an active role in pushing back against anti-Semitic comments.
Okay, I call nonsense in this. Again, as a, you guys let me know if you agree with me or not. As an anti-Christian, anti-theist activist, as somebody that fights religion, have been fighting religion for most of my life, the easy thing to do and the tempting thing to do would be to blame as much things as you possibly can on religion, you know, and just because it makes your activism more relevant, right? But I don't think you can do it here with Christianity. Anti-Semitic views, you know, before World War One and before World War Two, is common on everywhere. I don't know if this is fair to blame it on Christianity. I might be wrong, and I'm happy to be corrected in this, but anti-Semitic views were, you know, were common in communist Russia, right? The Soviet Union, in Islamic countries, in Christian countries, Islamic countries, in communist countries. So I don't know if you could blame this on Christianity. And yes, there are many examples of the Catholic Church helping, for example, the you know, the Nazis. This is the Church of England, so I don't know if they are, this is not Catholic, so I don't know what their report is saying. And Ali, maybe if you looked into that, you could let me know. But another thing is that they're also, to be fair to Christians, again, not to Christianity, but to Christians, there were also Christians that were helping Jewish people. There were religious leaders, Orthodox, especially from the Orthodox Christian Church, that were calling out Nazism and they were attacking it. So, you know, the atheist side, the atheist activist side, we really like to go and find those pictures of priests and Catholic leaders that were like doing the Nazi salute and taking pictures with Nazis, and we showed the Imam, some, you know, Islamic leaders, especially from Palestine, meeting with Nazi leaders, and you're like, oh, look, Muslims meeting with Nazis. But we don't highlight the leaders of the other Christian churches. I think they were the Orthodox Christian churches that were consistently from the very get-go, even though it was very risky for them to do that, were in Europe at the time calling out Nazism and attacking it. Again, I'm not endorsing Christianity. There's nothing. But these Christian leaders were also supporting, you know, calling it out. I don't know what, right. But what do you think, Ali? Sorry.
Go ahead. No, I think that it's ridiculous to blame the Holocaust on any one factor. Mm. You know, as you mentioned, there were so many different things. And not only that, but there were a lot of Christian heroes that did, you know, help people, and we can call them Christian heroes. They were heroes who happened to be Christians.
Right.
You know, that saved people. So I do think, I find it ridiculous.
But, so what, do you know what the report, what kind of Christianity, how does it link this to Christianity? Maybe somebody, you guys, if our community can go through this report and tell us if the report, like, we'll link to it, right, in the description, you can look at our source. And if somebody thinks that we're wrong and this is actually, the report is right, I mean, obviously we're covering a lot of news, so we didn't actually, so we might take what we're saying with a grain of salt. So we might completely be wrong about this, but if you want to analyze the report and let us know in the comment section why the report is right, please help us out here. But I think it's pretty easy to say that this cannot be blamed on Christianity, given how widespread anti-Jewish views were around the world at that time, and how Hitler himself did not use much Christian narrative to promote this. There's not much of, you know, Christianity. The Nazi Party at that time also didn't use much Christian narrative to spread their agenda. You know, there were Christians that they that they used for their agenda, but they didn't use much of the Bible. They didn't like, here's in the Bible, look, but this is why we're right. They didn't, let's be fair, they didn't use that narrative. What is the agenda of the Church of England to say something like this? Even like, do they have a secret agenda? Like, why is a church saying Christianity is to be blamed?
I don't know.
Yeah, can somebody explain to us why the Church of England is blaming Christianity for this? Are they trying to be like, look how honest we are? We're calling it as it is. Like, we're being so transparent. Is that what it is? Or is it maybe that this is a secret way to call out the Catholics? I don't know. Let us know. We're ignorant about this, so educate us in the comment section. Patrick is saying, I wasn't aware that there was any dispute over that. Well, now you heard our dispute. So Patrick agrees with the report, which I don't know how Christianity is a religion that worships a Jew, right? Like, this is why I don't get Nazi Christians, Nazi Christians, like, oh yeah, we hate the Jews and we pray to a Jew. Is Jesus was a Jew? Like, how is that? Like, does that not cross my, like, I really want to go back in time and, like, find, like, really devout Nazi Christians. I'd be like, wait, if you hate Jews so much, why are you worshiping one? Like, I want to hear your answer. Okay. Let's go to the next news.
All right. Next news is out of India. 63% of women in rural India work until the day of delivery, says survey. So, this survey was actually conducted in six North Indian states. And to make it clear about this, and Shubham will be able to give us more information, but we actually have a consulate that's called North Indian State, like the Northeast Indian states. It's a rural area, so we had to combine a whole bunch of different areas up north. So that people would be able to feel closer together, even though they were actually far, far apart. So this rural area is where the survey was conducted. And again, anything that I say about percentages and everything, I don't have access to the study. But so everything I say, take with a grain of salt. I don't know who these people were who did it, this Jaksha Bakcha survey. But what they're saying is 63% of the women who are here have to work every single day up until the point where they actually go into labor. So why is this a problem, you might ask? A lot of people work. I worked up until the point where, you know, I went into labor. This does happen. But the problem is in these rural areas, women, it's not just about the fact that they're working up until this point, it's that they have to. Right. They're poor. They don't have access to a lot of medical facilities and whatnot. They suffer a lot more. two of three child deaths in India is due to malnutrition. And a lot of the women up in these northern states suffer from malnutrition during their pregnancy as well, which means if they're malnourished, their baby comes out malnourished. And this is a public health crisis, really. Shubham, do you want to add more to this?
Just to correct you for one, North India and Northeast India are like completely different, not the same at all. And the survey is Jaccha Vaccha survey, which means mother-child survey. Okay, and that being said, it's true. I mean, Ali said it all. Like these women, they are not really very highly educated. They're poor. They need money, and they work in like dangerous jobs and stuff until the day of delivery. And these things, I mean, most women who are even slightly educated, I don't think any one of them would really work like this till the day of delivery. So you can say, I mean, just the literacy rate there. And also, like in these states, not all of these are actually North Indian, but in most of the states, the illiteracy rate is really high. And in the, especially in the state Uttar Pradesh, which is the most densely populated state, there's like cows have more rights than humans. These people don't have access to ambulance. They don't have access to like stuff, medical stuff and everything. And we are talking about a state where cows get their own private ambulances.
What?
In cases. Yeah.
Are you serious?
And yeah, the chief minister of the state declared that cows will get their own private ambulances in need. While in the state, people are dying for not getting easy access to ambulances. And oh, also, this is winter, by the way, so cows are also getting 300 rupees jacket for winter.
Martha, the top comment is by Martha, is saying pregnant working class women in the U.S. work right up to their delivery date. They have to, because we have such a cruel and negligent healthcare system, as well as no guarantee of parental leave. You know, it's very interesting that when you're trying to bring attention to a problem in another country, people try to come, you know, always like, oh, here as well, me as well. Like, you know, like, no, we have it worse. We have it worse. Like, I don't know. I think there's a competition. They can't bring up problems in one country without people trying to change the topic or like, no, my country bad.
The whole fact that, you know, people might be wondering why this is a problem, because like I said, I also worked up until the point of delivery. The problem is these women don't have access to proper health care. They're malnourished. And that this is also affecting their children as well. This is not the same as the choice we choose. And some women, I get it. Some women in America don't have a choice. They have to work for the money. But we still have access. If something were to happen to us, we could just walk into an emergency room with or without insurance. They have to treat you. It's not the same.
And
this isn't the same at all.
And the decision is not like, the decision is between, I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of women in the United States have it very tough, but it's not, the situation is not like, oh, if I don't do this, I might die from starvation tomorrow, right? So,
right.
Yeah, even if it's very tough, if anybody wants to suggest that the women in the United States have it as bad as these women in India, like, like, come on. Like, yeah, the situations could be bad, but there's different degrees of bad.
Right.
I mean, this we are talking about women having lesser rights than animals.
Right. So. Yes. So please, like, while you can still complain about bad situations in the United States, please don't try to outcompete other people that have it worse than you. But
yeah,
you know, that's not the right way of bringing attention to your.
That comment, I think many Indians would love that comment just because it says, oh no, we have the same problem in USA. And right. Indians would be like, oh, you see, India is not that bad. You even have that problem in the USA.
Right, yeah. So both sides, I mean, both the people, both the nationalists and the anti the people that love their countries and the people that hate their country, they take it to the extreme level, right? People that love their country and they're like uber nationalists, they're trying to like, every time you bring attention, bad attention to their country, they're like, no, look, other places is also bad. Instead of trying to fix problems in the country, they're like, no, no, look over there. But people that really, really, like in a very unhealthy way, hate their country, they want to be like, yeah, look at our country, look at our country. Don't look at India, don't look at Saudi Arabia, no, 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 United States. So it's, they're both kind of like a bit self-obsessed with their country in different ways. But yeah, but facts don't matter, right? It's just like what serves your agenda, what serves your the narrative that you want to support. But yeah, let me see. Anything else you want to add?
Nope.
No.
Okay, cool. Let's go again in another news. Okay, next news.
All right, next news is out of Varanasi, India. Indian Muslim Sanskrit professor is in hiding after right-wing protests. So, okay, a Muslim scholar in India was awarded a position at the university to teach Sanskrit. Sorry if I'm butchering that, Shubham. But the problem is that there's a large nationalistic Hindu presence there at the university, from students especially, who are protesting him being allowed to be there and teach. They're saying that a Muslim cannot teach us our religion. They vowed to keep protesting until Khan was transferred to another post. And this professor, Khan, took some leave because the protests were just outrageous to him. This is one of the first times that he had been discriminated against because of his religion. But the university is standing firm on him staying appointed to his position, saying that they welcome him. They welcome his background, and they're not going to cave to the pressure that's being put on them by the students.
I mean, who gives the... You know what his religion is. If he's like, if he knows the subject and he's a good teacher, just hire the man. I mean,
right.
If he's like, honestly, like India, what's happening to you? Like, if these are not examples. The problem is with India is not that just the government is starting to more and more treat its Muslims as second class citizens. The problem is, and that's not the only problem. The major problem is that there is also a lot of support for that position. Like, it's not just the government. This is what the people want, right? Shubham, do you agree with that? That this is there's a huge support?
Yes.
For that?
Yeah,
go on.
Yes, many, many, most people are like nationalist, religious and stuff. And they want this persecution of Muslims and stuff like that. And we are talking about Varanasi. This city is like Mecca for Hindus. It is a pilgrimage site for Hindus. And I have a lot of respect for the university in this case. I mean, I have been to that university when I was really young, and believe me, it's that university is surrounded by temples and Hindu people and everything. Like, I mean, there are a freaking lot of Hindus, and this is also in the state of Uttar Pradesh, which I always say is like one of the worst states here. So you can say how bad it must have been even for the teacher. I mean, I don't know. And I have respect for this university because they're refusing to budge in, and they won't budge into the students. And also, by the way, there's another good news. Like, after the Hindu nationalist students started protesting against Muslim Sanskrit teacher, there was a counter protest where liberal students were protesting that, oh no, we will have that Muslim Sanskrit teacher because he knows his job, he can teach us Sanskrit, and that's what we're here to do. We are here to learn Sanskrit, and we don't care who's protesting against him. We are protesting because we want him in the university. There was also a counter protest following that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. By Hindu students or by...
No, both. Okay. Those are liberal students. They were Hindus, they were Muslims.
Yeah. So yeah, let's be fair that even though there's a huge support for this kind of bigotry in India, there are a lot of Indians that are trying to fight against it, and rightfully so. By the way, the top comment is very interesting. This is classic whataboutism, I think, from somebody in India. He or she, Kashtubap, I don't know what his name is, saying...
Kostov.
Okay, he or she is saying, not defending, just saying... everyone is doing it. If you want to share that, share this too. And he or she is posting a screenshot of a news article, I think somewhere in the UK, that they have a standard for whatever. But this is such classic whataboutism. And he starts the sentence by saying, not defending, just saying, yeah, you are defending. You are defending bigotry by trying to... Imagine if this was the standard, that every time you wanted to point out bigotry, you were like... Oh, if you want to post that, you have to post this as well. Really? Then in that case, every time I want to point out to bigotry, I have to give you every single example of double standard or bigotry everywhere on the planet right now for me to be able to point out one of them. Like, what a ridiculous standard is that? How come these people, these Hindus from India, whenever we point out, would they ever come? And if we like point, first of all, we do point out bigotry in other places, right? We post it often. Like, I don't know where this guy, are you new on Atheist Republic? But whenever we point out like bigotry against Muslims or by Muslims to other people, against Christians or by Christians, against non-Christians, these Hindus never come out and say like, hey, if you're posting this bigotry, why are you not also talking about the bigotry of Hindus against Muslims in India? Have you ever seen them doing that? Have you ever seen these Hindu apologists come and say like, oh, why are you talking about the way China treats Muslims, but you're not talking about the way India treats its Muslims? If you're talking about China, you also have to talk about India. No, they never said that.
Never.
Their whataboutism only works when you point out the bigotry in India against Muslims. Shubham, do you want to add anything to that?
I think right now most of our followers, like those who really follow Atheist Republic instead of just like seeing one post, I think they know what we do here.
Right.
So yeah. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. It's very interesting because now I have been accused of being bigoted against Muslims and being an extreme anti-Islamic activists for many, many years. And now I have these Hindus coming to me on Twitter and saying like, oh, Armin would never say this against Islam. He's an anti-Hindu bigot. He would not dare say this thing about Muhammad. I'm like, do you guys even know me? What the hell are you talking about? Like, they are so, like, they just see what they want to see. It's so amazing. Okay.
You know what's the dangerous part is?
What?
Like, a huge chunk of these Hindu nationalists actually think that you should be raped and tortured to death for not being in support of India.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that. It's very scary.
And it's many of them actually put those into practice.
Yeah, we've seen that as well. Anyways, I already opened the next news, so let's start the next news.
Yep.
All right, next news out of California, USA. Woman in same-sex marriage sues Christian seminary for expelling her. Joanna Maxson was a 53-year-old student at the Fuller Theological Seminary and just a few credits shy of graduating. She was told that she could no longer attend the school. So in asking why, the administrators found out that she was married to another woman. Here's the deal, though. How they found out she was married to another woman was because whenever she filed for her student aid, you have to turn in your tax reports, right? Mm-hmm. So somebody from the financial aid who was going over her taxes found out that she was married to a woman and reported it to the school's higher-ups.
Wow.
And then they decided she could no longer be a student there. And they've terminated her enrollment. So completely. But the problem is she was going to the school who accepted her student aid, which means they are held to the same standards as everybody else. So there's a Title IX rule that prohibits sex discrimination. She's saying that they are discriminating against her because she's a woman married to a woman. Right. So she's kind of using that against them. While there are many states in the U.S. where it is not illegal to discriminate based on LGBTQ status, it is illegal to discriminate on sex. So if their problem is that she's a woman married to a woman, they are discriminating against her on sex. Right. Because if she were a man married to a woman.
That is beautiful. So
it's awesome.
If this it's works, awesome. This is awesome, because if this works, basically you could categorize all form of homophobia as
sexist.
Because you know, if a man can marry a woman should also be able to be with another woman, right?
Yes.
If you can do that, because right now we have it again in many laws that you cannot be sexist in many states, but we don't have it that you can't be against a sexual orientation. In a lot of states in the United States, that is allowed. But if you could categorize that as sexism, then all of those laws applies to LGBT community. That's amazing.
So smart. Right?
Yeah, this is genius.
So smart. This woman is just awesome. So she's suing for $500,000, and this is going to cover her attorney fees, her federally funded student loans, and of course, you know, all the time that she's wasted on getting a degree that she's no longer able to go for. So
I mean, these are the kind of activism that will, you know, that really, if they work and if they win, it's going to make a huge difference for other people's life. And this is why, actually, like, I know this person went to a Christian seminary, so a lot of our people, a lot of atheist activists, a lot of our followers were like, oh, she's deluded, she's a Christian, so why should we support her? Or some people are like, well, if she's gay, why is she still a Christian? Why is she going to a Christian seminary? Honestly, you could completely disagree and, you know, attack someone's ideas while supporting them in some other ways, right? Like, you could be like, oh, you're Muslim, I hate your Islam. But, oh, you're fighting for freedom of speech? I don't think that's Islamic, but I'll support you while you're fighting for freedom of speech. You could fight with people and against their ideas at the same time, right? You could be on their side on something and against them on some other things. And I think in this case, this person deserves a lot of support. If this works, if this wins, it will help a lot of people. And another thing is that, you know, a lot of people, to the people that say that, oh, you know, why are you suing? Just don't go there. You shouldn't have gone there if you're gay. Well, actually, the cases like this shows that actually I'm happy that that people that are gay are going to Christian seminaries, because they're challenging the they're highlighting the homophobia in the Christian community by going there, and they're challenging it as well. So I hope, you know, if you're a Christian and you're gay, I hope more gay people go to places where being gay is not welcome, so that they could challenge the bigotry, the anti-LGBT bigotry from the Christian community. So stand your ground. No, don't cower and be like, oh, if they don't like me here, I'm going to go somewhere else. Like, no, I'm going to stay there, fight for a change. That's a good thing, you know. What do you guys think? How do you guys respond to people like, oh, well, if you're gay, you shouldn't have gone there if you're not welcome? How do you guys respond to that?
It's ridiculous. People are allowed to have thoughts. I mean, and not be discriminated against like this, right? I know a lot of great gay women who are very, very, very religious. They're wrong, but they're still great people. They still deserve basic human dignity and rights.
Right. You know, the top comment is by Timothy, and at first it seems like it's a good comment, but I'm going to rip it apart. Timothy is saying, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged, aka mind your own business. But then Christian organizations say, I think this means that we need to be extra judgy. So they're saying, like, well, Bible says that you shouldn't judge, so Christians are not following it. I mean, technically, the Bible contradicts itself all the time. The Bible says don't judge, but it's one of the judges' books of all time. Like, oh, don't judge people, but kill the witches, kill the gay people. Everybody that doesn't believe in Jesus could burn in hell for eternity. Oh, this it's just from the very first chapter, like, you ate an apple. I'm going to screw you and your entire, all your offsprings for eternity because you ate an apple. Like, oh yeah, judge not lest you be judged. You can't, like, yeah, you have one verse that says don't judge people, which is a ridiculous claim. Like, don't judge people? How can you not judge people? You cannot not judge people. It's impossible. Every time you hear every story or any person's opinion or anyone doing anything, it's impossible for you not to pass judgment. You might not mention your judgment, you might not give voice to your judgment, but everybody, their mind is passing judgments on every second on everything they hear. your mind can't help but pass judgments on things, right? On the morality of things, on whether things are good or bad. So it's an impossible command. Maybe you could say, like, hey, don't mention, it's still a bad opinion, comment, but don't mention your judgment. I mean, all form of activism would go end if you didn't pass judgment on things, right? But it's a ridiculous command, it's a ridiculous standard, and it's a standard that the Bible itself completely contradicts in almost every other single verse. But yeah, anything else you guys want to add?
Nope.
No?
Right.
I love our idea about the sexist part, like,
yeah,
it's sexist, and love our idea is something new, and I think more people can use it now.
Yeah. By the way, the reason why I mentioned this verse, I wanted to call it out, is because a lot of non-Christians have like some sympathy towards Christianity. They, you know, they like, oh, Christians are bad, and Christianity has some good messages. My message is like, actually, no, most Christians are good, and Christianity doesn't have any messages that is worth preserving. Nothing. Zero. Okay? I accept your challenges on that. I accept your challenges on that. Like, come at me. Bring one thing in Christianity that is worth preserving. A lot of those feel-good, warm, fuzzy messages in the Bible are actually, when you start thinking about it, for 5 seconds, you see actually they're horrible and useless messages. And actually, most of them gets a lot worse when you look at it in context. Oh, yeah, respect your parents. Be polite to them. What if they're gay or witches? And also, if you're not polite to them, what do we do with kids that are not polite to their parents? Stone them to death! Like, holy, what? No, calm down, Bible. But yeah, most of
I love those people like who say like, oh, the people are bad, but religions always have something good to offer. No. The only religious people who are bad are those who have never read the religious books, and the people who say this have never read the religious books.
Yeah, yeah. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, Christian conservatives are horrible, but Jesus was this, he's lefty, hippie, peaceful guy. You're talking about a guy that went to a tree off season that didn't have the fruits in that season and went to get fruits from it, and he got so angry that he didn't have the fruits that he wanted that Jesus cursed the tree. He cursed the tree, and the tree died because Jesus was upset that he didn't have fruits. You're talking about a guy that says, like, if you love your family more than you love me, you're not with me. You have to, like, that's how jealous it was. You have to hate your family and love Jesus. You're talking about a guy that said in the New Testament, this is not Old Testament stuff, okay? People are like, oh, Old Testament is horrible, but New Testament is so love and peaceful. Like, no, New Testament was the idea that if you don't love Jesus, you're going to burn for eternity. That's what Jesus was teaching. Yeah, all loving, you know, hippie, peace-loving guy. Are you sure? Yeah. The whole, in nothing, there's nothing in Christianity that is, teaches you anything that is worth preserving. That might sound like an absolute statement, but if I'm wrong, tell me why I'm wrong. Because so far I haven't seen anybody proving me otherwise. Anyways, that's it there. Thank you, everyone. Ali, do you want to add anything before we go?
Nope.
Okay, good. Beach, everybody in the live chat, thank you for being here. Beach, thank you for moderating. Thank you, people in the Facebook live chat, David, Tony. A lot of the YouTube comments are hard for me. Angel, Vibrantly, GV, other people that I can't read their names. Another Godless Atheist, thank you for being here. I saw you mentioned some things about Australia's. You didn't tag Atheist Republic, that's why I didn't read it. I'm trying to pay more attention to people that are tagging Atheist Republic, so I do read them. Anyways, that's it for today. Love you all. Chris is here as well. Hi, Chris. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for correcting us when we're wrong. Please keep doing that in the comment section about your opinions. Also, please, a lot of the news today was very, very unfriendly for Facebook and YouTube's algorithm. So we really do rely on our community to share our content, because social media platforms hate us. They don't share our content. So we rely on you to share them. Please share our content. Oh, by the way, I'm also on TikTok now. I know, you know, but I'm trying it out. I think there's a, you know, we keep advocating that you need to reach out to Generation Z, and I'm trying to do that. It's been doing well. My TikTok profile is doing very well. So right, even though I just started, so if you are on TikTok. You know, not only follow me there, see if you could start creating content on TikTok, because people are like, oh, we need to reach out to Generation Z. How do we reach out to Generation Z? Well, you need to go where they are, because they're not going to come where you are. You need to go to where they are, and they are at Discord, right? At Discord and TikTok and other places. So if you're an atheist activist and you're trying making content on YouTube and Facebook, try to also look at these other platforms where Generation Z is hanging out, because those people are our future. And we need to figure out a way to reach out to them. Anyways, that's about it. And I guess seeing you guys next week.
Atheists are under attack in many places. If they were Christians, their voices would be heard. If they were Jews, their voices would be heard. If they were Muslims, their voices would be heard. But they are atheists, and not many seem to be listening. Let's make it difficult for them to ignore us. We have built a global community, and now we are tearing down geographic, cultural, and language barriers so we can find each other and support each other. In the last decade, we have built the largest atheist community in the world. Now we are doing the same in other languages. With your help, we have started Atheist Republic in Persian and Arabic.
انضميت مؤخرا لأسرة Atheist Republic وحيصير عندي بودكاست باللغة العربية.
As we grow, we can dedicate more time, staff, and resources to start doing the same in Spanish, Portuguese, Malay, Bengali, Urdu, Hindi, and other languages. We are providing community, support, informative content, and amplifying the voices of those who need protection, especially in countries where people feel isolated simply for their lack of belief. We want to be there for them, and we are only getting started. Help us get there. Check in the description for ways you can support our projects.